we all just get along.
Oddly enough, I don't know if that's about Congress or us.
Well,
I'm not sure. I'm not sure if that's our theme song.
What do you
song
mean this by that?
Was that a shot?
Yeah.
1-800-323-9262?
No. Oh, you
that's
did
not
it.
The fun
he
drive.
Did it. That's a $5 fine.
Yep.
He did the fun drive number.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the panel. It is a beautiful Friday morning. And when I say beautiful,
beautiful,
I mean
it's cloudy and
raining,
drizzly
and cold.
I know, but who cares? It's Friday.
And it's.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah, you guys have spent way too much time together. It's fun drive.
Yeah. Yeah. 12 days in a row now. Ooh. It's almost time for a day off.
Wow.
We're ready. We have a wonderful panel. Jimmy Vielkind will be joining us. He is newly a reporter at the Albany Bureau of Capital New York. And we'll talk to him about that change coming up at about 9:30 this morning. In the meantime, our regular gang is here. WAMC's Alan Chartok is with us. Good morning, Alan.
Yo.
How are you?
I'm fine.
you
can you hear? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? I'm getting a little bit of a. We should tell everybody I'm in an undisclosed location, and I'm getting feedback.
I didn't know we were allowed to disclose.
Yeah,
that.
With the last memo.
We're not. But the only way that I can tell you is that I'm getting feedback in my earphones, and that's bad.
All right.
So
turn down your mic gain a little bit. Turn down your mic gain just a wee bit.
What's that?
All right, we'll just move on. All right.
Do you have a dial in front of you or just a microphone?
I could just
look over the console myself and see, but I'm going to ask you.
I've got this very complicated system in front of me.
Then don't touch it.
Don't touch it.
Because you're on the air. It works fine.
We don't want to eject you into the environs of your undisclosed location.
Well, you can only imagine how terrible it is to hear myself twice.
Cut it out.
This is like reading the sailing parts in Moby Dick. You don't quite understand them, but you get the feeling of what it's like to be at a radio.
That is a brilliant analogy.
That is brilliant. All right.
Rosemary, I thank you very much for that. Also, Rosemary Romeo is here. She, of course, is an investigative reporter and University at Albany journalism professor, and we're thrilled to have her with us as always. And Ray Graff, WAMC's ace newsman, is with us. And let's talk about issues of the day, starting with just a really weird, bizarre, horrific scene on Capitol Hill yesterday. I don't know how much you can comment on it, other than it was ultimately unfortunate in the sense of that it seems as though it was just a mentally ill person with a child who just went where they weren't supposed to go, and it had tragic consequences. But it shut down Washington even more so for a good 2 hours yesterday afternoon.
I know it's I think the first reaction of the police, the Capitol Police, were praised by both sides of the aisle. First thing they've agreed on forever is that they did a terrific job. But I think the first reaction was somebody was aiming for Congress.
Well, no. Well, she didn't have a weapon, though, did she?
No, she had the card.
But had the card. She was using the car. I mean, she
It looked like some sort of suicide.
She was using the car as a weapon, I believe the Secret Service term was it was in an aggravated motion. It led to shots being fired.
Yeah, it's if you see the tape on television, it's really bizarre. She's surrounded by men with guns, and then guns the car, spins it around, and guns it, and you can't even tell what she was doing.
There are already questions, and I'm sure that the investigation will be complete. But I mean, some are already saying, "Well, was the use of all these shots necessary?" And frankly, someone's in a 4,000-pound vehicle.
Exactly.
I'm sure they might be able to justify that. We'll find out.
Not to mention, and I'm not, again, I think there's a lot more information to come. Mm-hmm. But the thing that I found amazing about it was that, as you say, the efforts by all, I think, was sort of universally praised. And yes, there may be some questions about the amount of force, but also the fact that it was contained with so many tourists around.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're on this area.
The car.
I mean, yes. And everybody was just, it was very precise in the sense of, we get the child, we get the people back, not far, because you didn't have time.
Yeah.
And we're able to contain the situation as she was moving the car.
Yeah.
And it you know, I don't know if you can say, I'm sure those questions will come up.
And once again, the Capitol Police are in the news. Do you remember during the Navy Yard shooting,
right,
the Capitol Police were called in, and oddly, for some reason, we don't understand, were called back out to protect Congress. They didn't know what was going on.
Alan, what do you make of the whole thing?
Well, thanks for asking, Ray. You know, from my point of view, I think it's extraordinary that how fast the news media got there. I mean, we know one thing about CNN and everybody else, CNBC, everybody, they just got up there with their cameras and their trucks, and we were all in a real time. I suspect that's because they think of it as good for ratings. We know every time they do this, the ratings go up, particularly at CNN. And I was fascinated by how it took seconds, what seemed like seconds, for everybody to get there.
Now, do we know what time this began? Because now I was doing Vox Pop with Rich Guthrie yesterday. I had CNN on.
It happened about 1:30, about 1:40, somewhere in there.
Okay.
But what I found, what's interesting when Alan was saying is that the White House press corps was at the White House, out on the lawn doing coverage of the shutdown. The House reporters were at the House doing coverage on the shutdown. The Senate side. So it was as if everyone between where the chase started to where it ended, there was press. In fact, the CNN reporter was getting ready to sit down with Harry Reid for a one-on-one about, you know, half a block away from where this occurred, and they heard the shots fired as they were setting up. So they were there, and you know, it's why they got the coverage that they got. But it was, you know, of course, Washington is a very covered place in journalism.
Yeah,
so it's
now.
And they had people coming out of the woodwork.
Yeah. Interesting.
When you think about,
I was just going to say, Joe, that's interesting that those guys were out there already. But of course, there were channels who were not out there who got there fast. So you're right. But you know, that really does account for how come there was such instantaneous coverage.
Because in CNN's coverage yesterday, they kept on saying that the people that they were going to were people who were on the street already, who were walking with congressional leaders, who were walking with people. They had several reporters from the New York Times who were actually on Pennsylvania Avenue talking to the average American, quote unquote, who was out the tourists and getting their thoughts on the shutdown, and were there when all of this occurred. And
I think the Capitol Police are just ready for trouble right now.
Yeah,
and that's what happened.
Right.
And they should be. This is a really tense and ridiculous time. And I'm happy that we're not doing another story about a mentally unstable person with a gun.
Right. Well, and the other part of that, of course, is that they were so on. Everybody was on. I don't want to use the word jumpy, but everyone is on high alert.
Yes.
and has their hackles raised because of the Navy Yard shooting,
right,
which is days ago.
Right.
You know, there's another unintended consequence of this thing, and that is that I believe the police chief of Washington is the first woman police chief that they've ever had there. And she's all over the news explaining it all the time. So Americans are getting used to the idea that you can have a woman who runs a major police agency.
Yay.
Yay, says
they
Rosemary.
They can run major anything.
Exactly.
Radio stations.
Well, on that note, let's go to a break. We'll let the dust settle, and we'll be back. And we welcome your comments as well. Roundtable at WAMC.org.
Support for WMC comes from Kingsway Community Schenectady, offering a continuum of care and services to area seniors since 1975, including nursing home and more, caring in the family tradition, kingswaycommunity.com. And Molly Cantor Pottery Studio and Gallery, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts, featuring pottery with images of plants, animals, and New England life, offering clay classes and gift certificates, mollycantor.com.
The rhythm's set, everybody knows the tune, for the shutdown blues. I got a buddy who can sing the blues. He drives a hard sport, me tattoos. If we were careful, we could spring him loose and let him take us where there ain't no dues. Toxic gas and asbestos dust, the long hot hours is killing us. Superheats and reheats too, the boys do it. The coveralls are blue. The rhythm's set, everybody knows the tune, for the shutdown blues.
All right, well, let's follow
Jess,
those Let's follow those shutdown blues and talk a little bit about that on our panel this morning. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. And I'm going to take a little swig of a beverage here, try to get rid of the tickle in my throat.
Right.
What beverage are you imbibing in, Joe?
Pumpkin. you can see on the monitor. Pumpkin,
that is a shot. Yeah.
Pumpkin spice coffee.
Mm.
I have pumpkin spice coffee in front of me.
Enjoy.
It's very, very good. Came from next door. It's fantastic. Let's talk about the GOP and the shutdown and what is going on. The stories that are coming out now have to do with John Boehner looking for Democratic votes, and we're hearing the rumblings about, oh, but what about the Hastert rule and all of that. I'm curious as to what you make of this coming off of our conversation yesterday, where especially we said that this could go on for a very long time.
Yeah. I even said 6 months.
And what did I tell you?
And you said, mark my words, is what you said.
Less than 2 weeks, and now I'm beginning to think it's a lot less.
So what's happening, Alan?
Well, my feeling about this is that you are right, that Boehner is in a terrible spot. If there is a vote in the House of Representatives, the dissident Republican votes, in other words, the moderate Republicans will vote for, a continuing resolution, and they'll be out of it. Boehner's problem is he wants to stay Speaker. So he doesn't want to alienate the right-wing, majority of the so-called minority. No. Minority of the so-called majority. Yeah, the so-called majority. And therefore, if you put it up, the Democratic votes and the Republican votes together will guarantee a continuing resolution. The problem for Boehner is, when you say, Joe, that he's looking for votes, is that Democratic votes, is the Democrats are having such a good time here that watching the Republicans self-destruct, that they may say, no, we want them all or nothing, in which case it would go on. But I don't believe they can do that. I think they have to vote with the so-called, moderate Republicans and get everybody out of this thing.
And I've heard several, in fact, John Stewart made reference to this, of I love when they'll take one word that the press latches onto and uses it, and they'll show, 50 different outlets mm-hmm. using the same word, and the word was rattled.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, I think it's a really good term, because the Congress does seem rattled by this of, oh, look what we've done. Now we're damned if we do and damned if we don't.
Right.
Say the Congress, do you really mean the Congress
House.
Or
the
do
House.
You mean the Republicans?
Yeah, the House Republicans. Yeah.
Okay. There are two things here.
Although
one
the Democrats certainly have a stake in this, and I think they're rattled as well. Sure.
I think
they're happy. I think they're happy. I think this means that they can take over. If this were to keep going for a while, it would mean that the Republicans in all the polling are doing very badly and that they might lose seats. And I think the Democrats probably like that. I'm sorry, Rosemary.
No, that's okay. This is all interesting. Two things come to mind to me. Is one is that even if there were a vote today, we're not out of this mess, because now it isn't just the budget that needs to be passed, but we have the debt ceiling issue is right on top of us. So we're right back where we were. There's a farm bill that's I'm sorry, farm bill that's not been passed. That's yeah. There's a lot of messed up things right now. The other thing that
well,
has
Rosemary,
struck me.
I'm sorry. I just want to interrupt for 1 second. I think Boehner is already seeing the other thing, and he's saying, I'm not going to go for it. I'm going to make sure that the full faith and credit of the United States. So he's already bailing out on that big piece that's coming up.
It would be nice to think that, because he played a really risky hand in this, letting the Tea Party have their way for so long. Maybe it was to let them see that they were losing and couldn't continue. However, the other thing I was going to say is that I continue to be amazed at how happy, almost jubilant, the Tea Party people are. They seem to think that they've done a very good thing. If you hear,
you're right, and jubilant is the word. It's like they're ready to have a convention
the people
and celebrate.
The people are with us. This is great. It reminds me so much of the feeling before the last election, when they were so certain, radio reflected that they were so certain that their man was going to win, and they seem to
yes,
still feel that.
Yes, and you remember Slim Pickens? You remember Slim Pickens on the bomb going down?
Yes.
And Dr.
Yeah.
Strangelove?
And Strangelove.
Waving his hat in the air and saying, Yahoo, we're winning. Yeah.
Wow. Well, right. I try not to let my own biases get in the way. I think John Stewart again pointed out that there may be a very good reason for what they're doing, but they sure have not articulated it.
No.
What did Stewart call Obamacare, or the law that will change the world as we know it for reasons no one is able to articulate?
It's kind of like when you clean out the closet and everything gets a lot dirtier before you actually throw all the stuff away and get it out and have the clean closet. But, I mean, we're in that point where the stuff is just all over the place and you don't know whether it's going to end up good or end up bad.
Yeah.
But you're absolutely right. You have to at some point say, well, this is all in the process of cleaning out the closet. And we don't know that.
Yeah.
Nobody said that. Nobody's made that point.
Joe, now that you mentioned cleaning out the closet, could I just
oh, do you have to go?
Go in a different direction?
Oh, no,
I'm
sorry.
Was that a shot? Go in a different direction?
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, no, of course not. Okay, so go in a different direction. You know, in New York City, I know you're going to criticize me for going off topic, but in New York City, there's a major scandal going on in which William Rapfogel, I don't know if you're aware, you guys have been following this, a major figure in Jewish philanthropy in New York, has been found to have been stealing, or accused of having been stealing, right? Mm-hmm. His wife is the chief of staff for Sheldon Silver. What I loved about your closet analogy is that when the FBI or whoever initiated a search, they went in and they found shoeboxes of cash in the guy's house.
Wow.
Mrs. Rapfogel, of course, said, I know nothing about it. Now, in my house, if somebody clipped their toenail and says, where's my toenail clipping? And it's a big house, Roselle would say, in the closet under the... Are you following at
yes,
all?
Yes,
yes. We know everything that's in the closet.
It's a weak excuse.
An amazing,
very weak excuse.
I didn't know anything about it. Great. I'm sorry, Joe. Just, it's just that
just
when
what
you said
the speaker needed.
The
another scandal. Yes.
When you said in the closet, I like the guy, and I take Shelley, and I swear, it's unbelievable the idea that he would be that. I am sure he got caught up short, because this guy, William Rapfogel, was the star of Jewish philanthropy in New York. And the fact that he was stealing, or has been accused of stealing, I should say.
He's stealing
really
from his own charity. Is that right? He's stealing from his
own. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
From
yeah,
his
yeah,
employer,
yeah.
Right? Embezzle from his employer. And his employer is
no,
a charity.
Well, the employer, he is the employer.
The chief executive.
The Metropolitan. Yeah,
right,
the
Metropolitan Council on Jewish Poverty.
Yeah. Huge. Every single person of importance in the Jewish community was giving money to them. This was a major scandal.
And meanwhile, she.
You're the
no, go ahead.
Well, so if you're the the speaker, what do? Do you fire the person who has been your chief of staff and has been in on every single thing that's gone on for 20 years, or do you encourage her to go? I mean, and then I was talking to a law enforcement person, most interesting, a prosecutor who was saying that. Quite frequently, when they want somebody to take a plea, the wife is excused or the husband is excused if you'll take the plea. Get it? I mean, you saw that with Madoff like taking Madoff. The plea and all the rest of this. Right. Yeah, exactly. Fascinating stuff.
Shelley doesn't have a great record for doing what would appear to be the right thing, however.
I don't know. He's still standing.
Oh, that's different. Or is that's a whole different thing.
That's different.
Or as the 2,000-year-old man once said when asked for his final thoughts on that first record, I'm here and they're not.
Well, we're going to take a break. We'll be back. We're going to hear some NPR news. We'll come back. Jimmy Vielkind will join us, and we will talk, I'm sure, much more about state politics. You're listening to the Roundtable Panel on WAMC. Jess doing another great job on the music.
I
great
vote for her.
Today.
Yeah.
Jessica is our engineer today, and she picks the bumper music. That's what
we are referring to.
Wow, nice stuff.
Yeah,
very
well done.
Yay.
Nice, nice. Sounds great.
People at home should know the engineer does other things too.
Well,
the
she should turn your microphone
on.
That
right.
would be one thing. One demerit.
You can turn. You got his mic on.
The
you
music
Jimmy's
was good,
mic on?
But we couldn't hear Jimmy.
There you go. All right, Jimmy.
Okay.
All
well,
right.
I was just saying, the engineer does things other than the music, and I invented it to be a funny comment, not
it was,
any
well,
perfect.
Actually, it was
not
a funny comment because it set Ray up perfectly.
I know. But,
we're back into the folk soul and lower the anchor. And
so, Alan, when we last left, we were talking about closets and Rap Vogel, and so I do want to continue on that vein since we have Jimmy in now, and I know he's covering this, but before we go into that. Jimmy has a new heading. He is now, last time he met us, he worked for another news agency.
Right.
Now he is a reporter at the Albany Bureau of Capital New York. Is that your title?
That's it. Yes. I'm a reporter. So far, I'm the only reporter in the Albany Bureau,
so
but the hope is to have about five, maybe six people on the state team, which makes us the largest bureau in the New York State Capitol.
Would you be the senior reporter then of the...
Yeah, I think I'm going to be the senior reporter. If not by age, then by maybe by height. But
okay,
but that's still to be determined. We haven't done the lineup test as yet. But
and so
you must be this high to ride in this bureau.
Right. So we're worried about you. Is this a good move? Is this good? Is it good going into the internet and all that stuff?
I'm very excited about
this.
Well, you've been on the internet and blogging and everything else.
Why not? Well,
I have been using the internet for a while. That's right.
That's true.
But Capital New York is an online news outlet that was started a few years ago by Josh Benson and Tom McGivern, who were former editors of the New York Observer, which was a weekly print publication based in Manhattan that itself developed a robust web presence. And they've been making Capital work, and they have caught the eye of Al Britton Communications and Robert Al Britton, its chairman, which is best known nationally for being the parent company of Politico, which is mostly an online-only news source focused in Washington, D.C., focused on covering politics. And Al Britton / Politico has purchased Capital New York with the thought that they will try to apply their model to New York City and New York State. And part of that effort is going to be robust, reinvigorated state political coverage. And I'm incredibly excited and proud to be part of that effort.
Will you have a downstate reporter or two?
Or six.
Okay.
But yes, the main focus of the site's probably going to be in New York City. My colleagues, Ozzie Pabra, Dana Rubenstein, Reed Pilfant, are going to be down there looking at a lot of city politics. Joe Pompeo is going to be our media reporter, and I believe that they'll be bulking up that section. And the site's culture coverage is also going to continue. So the idea is not necessarily to cover general news in the sense that perhaps a print publication or a newspaper or a television station would, but to look at specialty areas. And those specialty areas are New York City government and politics, New York State government and politics, and the media. As I said, I'm thrilled. I think we're gonna start strong from the gate. And I encourage anyone who's listening to check out the site. It's capitalnewyork.com, and it's Capital with an A.
Capital.
We're in the Capitol with an O, but it's Capital.
All right.
I'm going to be saying that. That's going to be a well-honed shtick after about a week or so.
Yeah, well, I think it's already well-honed. I'm pretty impressed.
Polish it a little bit.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
The way I've always remembered that is AL is Albany and OL is the Capitol building. You see,
But what's the connection between OL and the building?
We learned it in school.
It's a big round building with a lot of big fat politicians in it.
Very nice.
I like it. I like it a lot.
I like the big round building
Jimmy,
analogy.
Jimmy, now that you've moved, Joe said another place, but that was the Times Union where you were, and now you've moved here. I think everybody's at home saying, why did he do that? Why did he make that move? You know, he was really the king of everybody went to your column at the Times Union Online. Why did you do it?
Well, it was really an exciting new opportunity. I mean, I loved working at the Times Union, and I've said it before and I'll say it again, it was really a great privilege to write for the paper that I grew up reading.
Then why did you betray them?
Oh, I think betray is perhaps too harsh
a word.
Shot?
I think that was a shot.
It might have been a shot. No.
But was it I guess what Rosemary really wants to know is, you made a few dollars on the deal, right? I mean,
I think that's what Alan really wants to know.
Yes, $2. I made $2 on the deal. No, but I think this is really an exciting opportunity. I'm excited to be, you know, at the forefront and starting something new. And, you know, I'm excited to try something new in journalism. The model that has existed for about a century in this country has been to have daily newspapers as, in many cases, the leading news outlets in a metropolitan region. But what we see is declines in print circulation. We see declines in newsroom staffing at print publications. And the Times Union, and you know this is better than I do, Alan, through your conversations with Rex on the Media Project, they have done a fantastic job weathering that storm. The Hearst Corporation is committed to them. They have invested in their newsroom. They have guarded their newsroom. And I have absolutely nothing but thanks for what they did, investing in the Capital Bureau and investing in me. But I think that this is going to be a great thing. I think that this is the future, and I'm excited to be a part of it.
So the Times Union has obviously been around a long time, which begs the question, is your real estate on the second floor as nice?
You should explain that. We should explain that there's a second floor, which is where all of the reporters are, and some inexplicably have far more room than others do. It's sort of a geopolitics issue. So maybe
And the Times Union has had a presence there, obviously, for a long time. So they have an office. You have an office.
Well, yeah, the space in the Capitol for journalists is controlled by the Legislative Correspondents Association,
the LCA.
Yep, the LCA, which I'm a member and of which I will continue to be a member. And it has voted to grant Capitol some space in the press room, and I'm having to put on my interior designer hat, so everyone should beware.
Yeah.
My wife especially, as I try to design space for people to come in. So I think it's going to, I think it may involve a pool table and a piano that Harry Truman used to play.
And
I'm not joking about either of those things. So.
No, because those are there now. Those are there now, right? And maybe you're hinting that maybe they would have to go in order to provide this space.
I was hinting the opposite, actually. But it should be really cool. And if anyone's ever in the Capitol, the Capitol with the OL, we'd love to have you stop by. It's the third floor, and we're going to be upstairs in something called the Shelf, which is a little loft.
Oh, the third floor, of course, yeah.
Yes,
the third floor. Yeah, that's interesting. But some of the worst newspapers have the most space. I've often wondered about that.
Which ones, Alan?
Yeah, why don't you say it, Alan?
I don't want to get into that.
Okay.
But you all know that I have certain feelings about certain newspapers.
It's the four-letter word that you spell, right?
Let me POST it.
There it is.
He had to do it.
Well, we're happy to be granted the space, and we're happy to be partnering with everybody.
All right. So you have new bosses, and you want to just dazzle us all with your brilliant reporting as you start this new venture. So the story you put up today is what?
Well, we had an interesting piece that just hit the site about Foxwoods, the casino company and the tribal casino.
Listen up, Ray.
Based in Connecticut. This is we targeted this at Ray Graff, who
I'm not a paid spokesman.
He's our correspondent.
Be clear on that.
Well, so, there's this casino referendum that's coming up this next month on the statewide ballot to amend the state constitution to allow up to 7 casinos here in the Empire State. Mm. And citizens may know or maybe even forget that outright gambling with table games, blackjack, poker, etc., that you'd see in Las Vegas or you'd see in Atlantic City is not legal in New York. And it's actually banned by the Constitution. So you can't just change a law. You have to amend the Constitution, which means that two separately elected state legislatures have to say, put it on the ballot, and then the good people of the state, us, have to vote yes, yay, or nay. And that vote is coming up in November. It's going to be a big, interesting vote. And people are lining up to try and influence it. So this week, we've seen a few plays. We've seen a new political action committee called New York Jobs Now, which is great. It's like Americans for America or, you know, people supporting kittens and apple pie. But New York Jobs Now is a coalition of the New York State Business Council, the New York State AFL-CIO, the largest labor umbrella group in the state, numerous gaming interests, people who are just going to send checks. And my favorite one was Thurman Thomas, the Hall of Fame running back from the Buffalo Bills.
Isn't there an invisible elephant on the table?
Which one?
Andrew.
Ah,
Andrew Cuomo.
Well, of course,
this is the same coalition that he helped put together earlier when he came into office, isn't it? Or very close to it, and who gathered a lot of money, to help him put his program through.
Well, I think you're referring to the Committee to Save New York, which is. Funnily enough, now defunct. So the Committee to Save New York had more of a focus on sort of real estate interests and business groups and less of a labor element than this. I think that this coalition, while it's a similar play from the playbook, has different players involved.
So what has amazed me thus far.
Although some of the same. That's right. Okay, go ahead. I just want to make sure we're all on the same table here.
You know, the vote is coming up.
With the elephant.
And what has amazed me is that there has been so little in the way of propaganda on both sides in the media. Are we about to see the onslaught now?
I think we're about to see the onslaught of propaganda. I think that that's it. And that this group, this entity, this PAC, is preparing and essentially loading its arsenal to flood the airwaves. And what's interesting to me about Foxwoods saying that it too is going to be part of the effort is, you know, if I had to make a short list of people who, you know, you'd think would be opposed to gambling in New York, the people who have the casinos next door to New York, they'd be high on my list.
So I go back to Trump and his lobbying against it 10 years ago.
Precisely. But I spoke yesterday with Scott Butera, who's the CEO of Foxwoods, and he said that he is hoping to redevelop the site of the old Grossinger's Resort near Liberty Sullivan County, part of the old Borscht Belt. And this is these old Borscht Belt resorts have fallen on hard times. Many of them have slipped into disrepair. And the thinking is that they could get a casino license from the state if developers brought in ideas to redevelop them into resorts. And this dovetails perfectly with what Governor Cuomo has said is his vision for gaming in New York State. He wants not gambling per se, because as the governor says, we already have gambling. You can already go to a Native American run casino in Syracuse or Buffalo. Mm-hmm. You can already go up the Northway from the Capital Region to the Saratoga Casino, which is even now called a casino. Yep. You just can't play a table game.
You can't throw actual dice.
Right.
You can play craps.
You can throw them, but you risk
breaking the screen on the computer.
I don't get these rules, by the way. Why that's interesting.
Well, it's getting around the Constitution is what it is. Yeah.
It's pesky Constitution. Yeah. But Foxwoods is on board. And if you look at you'd think that the people who have the tribal casinos, wouldn't they want to oppose this? But no. They have all settled claims with the state.
Right.
And part of those settlements was either an explicit or a tacit understanding of what we're going to stand down. So what you have as this vote approaches is a lot of firepower in favor of it and not much firepower against it. What we saw over the weekend was the state's Catholic bishops issuing a statement in which they said that while, according to Catholic teaching, gambling is a neutral act, they view this expansion of casinos as perhaps hurting the poor, that this could be a regressive tax on the poor. The state's Conservative Party, which can be a potent second line for Republicans, has also said it's opposed. And also, what we're seeing is some agita over the way this is being done. Now, voters who go to the polls are going to see this on the top of of, I think, 7 ballot referenda that are going to be before them. And it is phrased in such a way that has really raised some eyebrows. Essentially,
they're going to court over that, right?
Yeah, someone is suing them. So I don't have the exact wording in front of me, so forgive me for paraphrasing. But it's essentially, I hereby support casinos in New York because they will create jobs, make my kids smarter, lower my property taxes, and just make me smile.
It's a great birthday present for mom, too.
But the wording on this referendum, and people can check this out, it's been written about by many publications, it has been arguably, you know, it does not mention any of the potential downsides of gambling and all the potential upsides of this referendum. And so that has, as you noted, Ray, sparked a lawsuit this week by a Brooklyn attorney. And it's also, what was most telling to me was on Monday, a poll released by the Siena Research Institute found when you ask the straight up question on gambling that Siena has asked on and off for a long, long, long time, because they do that, you still get roughly a 50-50 split. You still get it within the margin of error. It's a little bit up, it's a little bit down, but it's roughly split. When you ask the question with the wording that they put on the ballot, I think it's 55 in favor, 36 opposed.
Yeah, I remember Alan mentioning during the fund drive that poll had come out. I never actually saw that poll.
Mm-hmm. CapitalNewYork.com, capital with an A.
I think at the time Alan said he predicts that this thing is going to pass and pass pretty easily.
Well,
Alan?
Yeah, no, I think that the big sale here is that they're going to say that they're going to say. I think Jimmy's done a great job of laying it all out. But I think that when people say, "Okay, do I have a choice between paying taxes or soaking people from you know who go to gambling casinos?" Which is, do I think that that's going to work out? I think people are going to vote for anything to keep their taxes down.
Well,
that's
and,
my bet.
Yeah, and you know, the state budget division, because as you pointed out, Alan, Governor Cuomo is in favor of this. And while he has not been publicly proactively making the case for it, he works in subtle ways. There was a report in this morning's Wall Street Journal that his aides are guiding this effort and are guiding this PAC and are trying to harness its energy and coordinate its strategy. On Wednesday, the New York State Budget Division, our taxpayer-funded budget division, released a breakdown detailing how counties would benefit from what they project to be $343 million of additional revenue should this referendum pass. Sure. And I expect that we're going to see more of this. Now, this is in this part of New York, in upstate New York, this is an off political year. We don't have many major elections. Some counties have contested county executive races. There are some big mayor races up in Rochester, Syracuse, here in Albany, and also Buffalo. But the big political
thing in New York City is the New York City
mayoral race. Yeah, that city. There are a couple of people that live there. Alan, you're from there, aren't you? I think.
Originally, absolutely.
So it remains to be seen how that turnout dynamic is going to play in. And also, I think that's one of the reasons, as you noted, Ray, that we haven't seen this onslaught of ads as yet, because people are just not thinking about politics in a broad swath of the slate. And it's really, really, really expensive to buy TV ads in New York City. So we'll have to see how that plays out.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll finish up for this hour. We will be back with Ray Graff and Rosemary Romeo, Alan Chartok, and Jimmy Vielkind. We welcome your comments, roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be back after this short break.
Support for WAMC comes from Steve Lewis Subaru, Hadley, Massachusetts, a new and used Subaru dealer serving the Pioneer Valley, Hartford, and Springfield, offering new Subarus plus used cars, trucks, and SUVs, SteveLewisSubaru.com, and Saugerties Furniture, Saugerties, offering the Comfort Sleeper sofa from American Leather, engineered with no bars, springs, and 3 mattress options, including Tempur-Pedic, SaugertiesFurniture.com.
That means we might as well go home. I've more than had enough of working. I'm tired of answering the phone. I've had my fill of sitting in the office. I want to go home. And it feels as if I have been sat here at least 3 weeks, maybe a month. I can't believe it's only 20 past 11. I think I'll have an early.
Welcome back to the roundtable panel. I'm Joe Donahue, Jimmy Vilkind, Alan Chartok, Rosemary Arimo, and
me,
Ray Graff.
Yes, hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Welcome. We are here. We are doing the panel, and we have been talking about some interesting casino news, but there is other news as well. Let's talk about Governor Cuomo's tax commission.
Well, yeah. So the other news in kind of the state government world this week was the formation of a new tax commission by Governor Cuomo. And it's going to be co-chaired by two interesting choices, George Pataki, who was governor, and Carl McCall, who was the former state comptroller. And now, if you had to play a game called, you know, an association game of Andrew Cuomo, George Pataki, and Carl McCall, probably the first word that would come up is enemies.
Which one of these doesn't belong? Well, oh, none of them.
None of them belong. And so for listeners who may not remember, it's in 2002, Andrew Cuomo, who had been a Secretary of Housing and Urban Development during the Clinton administration, came back to New York and ran for governor unsuccessfully. And he waged a primary fight against McCall, who had been the comptroller, who is an African-American, which is somewhat significant in all of this narrative, but who had essentially really paid his dues. And by the opinion and the actions of many in this Democratic Party at the time, it was his turn. He was the standard bearer. He was the highest statewide elected official in the Democratic Party. And, you know, governors always have a tough time winning a third term. And Democrats thought this George Pataki guy, who's been elected in 1994, is weak. So now I mentioned that Pataki had been elected in 1994. He beat Mario Cuomo, Andrew Cuomo's father. So there was that sort of history. And so Andrew Cuomo sort of wanted to avenge the loss of the father. And so he launched this primary campaign and suspended it a few weeks. Maybe it was just
days.
1 week. Yeah, a few days before the actual polls opened, seeing that he could not beat McCall and that the only thing left would be to go massively negative. And so McCall won in the primary election, and then, it is said by many people in the postmortem, lost to Pataki in part because he had to devote so much of his energy during the summer, during the spring, and during the fall of the campaign season to fending off this challenge by Andrew Cuomo. And so Pataki won a third term in office. And now all of them are together again, talking about our taxes.
Well, it's so interesting, Jimmy. It's so interesting because Andrew comes into office, and the first thing that he does is he appoints his old nemesis, McCall, who was his nemesis up until that moment, both Democrats, as head of the SUNY system,
right.
The lay head of the SUNY system.
Correct.
So that makes that brings him in. You know, the thing about Andrew that is so spectacular is, you know, he may hate you, but he knows what he has to do in order to bring people around, and that is exactly what he has done here. I mean, you know, Pataki is if ever there was a who he in New York State politics, it's him. And now he brings him in, and even the POST only gives him a very short story in the Post when he announces this new tax commission.
Need a new tax commission? Why do we need lowering taxes? Is that a good idea?
That was
They're polling like crazy from the second floor from Andrew's office, and they are seeing that taxes is still at the top of everybody's mind.
I actually see two reasons for it. The first is, and we've reported both of these stories on CapitalNewYork.com with an A. I'll stop. But the first is what's happening in Washington right now. We've talked about it on air here, is a gridlock. There's a shutdown.
Right.
Partisanship has led us to shutdown. Now, Andrew Cuomo comes onto the scene and he says, here I am, arm in arm with my former enemies, who I'm going to work with across the aisle to reach a policy that will move the state forward. And in case you missed the subtext of that, he said as much during the announcement event.
Yeah.
So this is yet another way in which Andrew Cuomo, who might someday possibly maybe think about running for some federal national office, though he says he's not, you know, setting himself apart from the current political system.
As a uniter,
system.
Not a divider.
He's
now,
a uniter.
We only have 30 seconds. So.
And then the second point is, Rosemary, you said there is a tax commission. There was a tax commission
right.
That was named in December 2012, that's due to report in December of 2013. What I've heard from many people is that it was proposing things that may or may not have jived with what the governor was going to like. Yeah. And so this commission, it is thought, will recommend things that will be more to his liking, that he can present as solutions, and perhaps suck some of the air out of the other commission. The governor, of course, denies this.
We're out of time. I want to thank everybody for taking part in the panel. We'll have a great weekend. We'll come back refreshed, ready to go on Monday morning.
The weekend's heavily on your mind.
Absolutely. Yes. I mean, it's on everyone's mind here. Jimmy, thank you very much. You can find out more at capitalnewyork.com, A-L, I believe, capitalnewyork.com. Rosemary Armeo, Ray Graff, Alan Chartok, thank you all. Have a great weekend.
Bye.